holding towards the bottom of my model from the base. About 9-10 lines from the bottom, and line between the vacuola hook. We were learning yesterday, we were talking, the mission had talked about the idea that you can't do Yibum or Chalitza within the 3 months, and in general that women are not allowed to remarry within 3 months of the end of their previous marriage, whether it was ended by death or by divorce, by the death of the husband or by divorce. And in that connection, we talked about the fact that the Yavama is entitled to, for a certain period of time, is entitled to support from her first husband's estate. For the first 3 months, the Yavama is entitled to support from her husband's estate. After that, she's not entitled to support neither from her first husband nor from the Yavam. Because normally one of the Tanoi Ksuba is she's entitled to support as long as she stays in Amana. That's one of the Tanoi Ksuba. But in that case, she has an argument. We mentioned this yesterday. She can argue and say, I'm not getting married because I have a lot of covet for my husband. I don't think there's anybody else who can compare to him. No, a regular woman, as opposed to a Yavama, doesn't really have that option. Right. The Yibum or Chalitza.
Right.
So therefore, within the 3 months, there's no choice. She has to wait anyway. So therefore, she's still entitled to support from her husband's estate because the fact that she's unmarried for those 3 months is because he passed away, directly as a result of him passing away. But after that, no. And the Yavam, he hasn't yet married her. He hasn't yet done chuppah with her. And until the chuppah, and as we said yesterday, during the period of Eidusin, there's no mezainis yet. On the other hand, Omad Badinu Varach, on the other hand, if the Yavam was stood in Beis Din, meaning that she took him to Beis Din and told him, let's get things going over here. Do Chalitza, do Yibum, but do something.
After the 3 months.
After the 3 months, Uvarach, and then he ran away. Then Nizonis Michel Yavam, then she is entitled to support from the Yavam. So Rashi says because we can see him, it's a knas for the fact that he ran away. Which then Mephoshim point out, Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahar, for example, points out that in that case, then that would only apply if he ran away willingly. He decided to run away to try and evade his responsibilities as a Yavam, as opposed to what if, for example, he had to run away because, for example, he's a wanted man or something. Maybe then we don't cancel him because it wasn't his fault. On the other hand, other Mephoshim say that it's not really a matter of knas; it's a matter of once you teveya him, then it's the equivalent of the din in Ksubas, in a similar connection, just a regular woman who's had Eirusin but not yet Nisurin, that if they come there's a normal period of time, like I said in last week's parasha, say Lavan and his mother say, that let Rivka stay with us Yomim also a year or at least 10 months, because that's normally a year is normally the amount of time between Kedushin and Nisurin. If that time has passed and she then says to the husband, Nu, what's doing? How come we haven't set a wedding date yet? Then already that's the equivalent of Hamad Abedin over here. Then already she is entitled to have him start supporting her because it's his fault that things are getting delayed. So the same thing over here. Once she took him to Beis Din already, then already that starts obligating him. That starts the clock that he has to start supporting her.
From that time on.
Right.
From his estate.
Right. Not from his estate. He's alive. The Yavam is alive. From the Yavam's possessions, right. Now, the question is, the Gemara asks, Nafla Lifne Yavam Katan Mai. What would be the din if the Yavam is a Katan? She has to wait, as we've talked about the other day, she has to wait till he grows up to be able to do Yibum or Chalitza. Mi Yavam Lesla. Granted, in that case, she definitely doesn't get anything from the Yavam because he's only a child. Mi Baal Mai. What about, what would be the din? Do we maybe say in that case that she does get support from her husband's estate? Because now she's having to wait longer than 3 months. So please, about Ravacha and Ravina. Chadoma Yisla, Chadoma Lesla. Ravacha and Ravina, one of them says that you do give her this support, and one says you don't. Vinuchas a Lesla, the halacha is, in the end, that you don't give, she's not entitled to that support, because we say Mishnaya Kansua. Effectively, it's not the husband's fault, basically, that she's having to wait longer than 3 months. The 3 months, that's normal, so therefore she's entitled during that time. But after that, it's like it's min hashamayim that she's in this situation, that the Eibishter arranged things such that her husband died when his brother was still little.
After the 3 months, let's say, and it goes back to the father of the seed.
No, so then in that case, I mean, she's going to have to get a job, or she's going to have to, you know, her family will have to support her, or whatever. But
what happens to the estate of the deceased?
So we said already, the estate of the deceased. We said that if we said we had a machlokes before between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, if the father is alive, does it? If the yavam does yibum, then he's entitled to it. If the yavam does chalitza, then it goes back to the father. What happens? Does it matter whether the father is alive or not? That was, we had that discussion before on Tefnim Aleph. And on that man, rather. Turn it up on him. Yuvama shechotza lo'achim b'soich shleisha. If the Yuvama, if one of the brothers did chalitza for her within the 3 months, which they weren't supposed to do, tzricha lahamtin shleisha chadashim, then she has to wait after the chalitza another three, but then she has to, not she doesn't have to wait another 3 months. She has to finish waiting out the 3 months since the death of her husband. So her husband died, for example, Rosh Hashanah. They did the chalitza sometime in Cheshvan. She's going to have to wait till Rosh Chodesh Tevis. It's actually a little bit more, actually, because really it's 90 days plus the day of the death itself. So it's really 90, and plus the day of the chalitza. So it's really 92 days, but whatever, yeah. Whereas if they did the chalitza after 3 months, then she doesn't have to wait another 3 months. Well, havi, so we see from that, in other words, ha-gimel chadashim sha'amru, mishat nisus habav, le-mishat chalitza sa-yavam. We see, therefore, that the 3 months are counted from when the husband died, not from when the yavam did chalitza. And the question, well, that should be fairly obvious, but the question is, ma'i shnami get? Why is it different than the case of a get, the rav oma mishat nisino, or shmuel oma mishat tziva, where we have a machloikas, suppose that the husband writes a get on a certain date, but it's not delivered until later. When do the 3 months start? So Rav says from when he actually hands it to her, or to her shliach, whatever, and Shmuel says from when it's written. So by the same, so even now, what what's the logic over there? When it comes to, Rav is saying that you only count Meshach Nesina. Now, from when they wrote the get already, this husband and wife already were not together. They were never in Yichud. And in fact, if they would be, then it would pass all the get. It would be what's called in get Yashan. We learned briefly earlier in the Masechta about this, that if a husband writes a get for his wife, and then in between, before it's given to her, they're in Yichud together, then the get is possible in the Drabanan. If he changes his mind, then fine. Then there's no reason to worry about the kashrus of the get. But if he still wants to give the get, it's still possible in the Drabanan. You'd have to give another one. One reason is the Gemara discusses there in Gittin that we make a gzeira on it that they're called Gitta Kodim Livna. What happens if afterwards she turns up pregnant? People are going to think that she was an unmarried woman at the time this child was conceived. Well, who is the father? We don't know. And you're going to be poigim the child unnecessarily, like you know, as if he's like a shtuki, like which we learned before, that like he's a child who doesn't know who his father is. We don't want to do that. Therefore, the get is possible to drop on him. So, and nevertheless, the child really is the father's. But yeah. So the point is that. So there we see, even though from when they wrote the get, they're already not in Yichud. Nevertheless, Rav is saying you ignore that and you look at when the get was given. But in our case over here, why would Rav agree? Why would Rav say that you count from the death of the husband rather than from the chalitza? It should be from the chalitza,
which
is the equivalent of a get, effectively, yeah. Amar Rava Kavachomer. So Rava says no, because you can make a Kavachomer. Isu Korisi Tarta. You're saying that after the 3 months, you were even allowed to do Yibum, even though if she were pregnant at that point, then you'd have and she ended up having a Ben Kayoma, then it would be an Isu Koris, because it would be Eishes Achiv, where he had children. And yet you master it after 3 months, because she's not pregnant, but she's not pregnant. Most women, you can tell after 3 months. Isulav, like Hoshkin, how much more so? In Isulav, where it's just a matter of Yivama Lashuk, that she should be allowed to marry somebody else after the Chalitza, how much more so? There's no reason to be Machmir any more than any more than you do by Yibum itself. Just like Yibum itself, you say once it's 3 months after the death, there's no other factor involved other than the death of her first husband, then she can do Yibum. Then there's no question. By the same token, she can do Chalitza right away 3 months after the death of her husband, and that's that. There's no reason to compare it to the case of the get.
You don't wait until he does. You wait just for the 3 months.
You just wait for the 3 months.
Tosfos points out there's another factor also over here that, I mean, what would happen? Let's consider the scenario. You know, you'd have this couple did chalitza, and now you're telling her you did chalitza, but you're still going to have to wait to get married to somebody else. It would be like a joke. Nobody would pay attention to any Beis Din that said such a thing. They'd all think the Beis Din is being ridiculous. So therefore, you can't make such a gedera.
So what do you mean? You have to wait until you make...
So therefore, that's why we're saying you count just 3 months from the death of the husband, either way, when it comes to chalitza or when it comes to yibum.
If he did chalitza first
after the 3 months, then obviously there's no issue.
If
he did chalitza within the 3 months, then we said you have to wait out the rest of the 3 months.
But if he didn't chalitza after the 3 months...
Then what?
Then she...
She's still stuck until either yibum or chalitza happens. And we said the Mishnah said b'chein shar kol anoshim. That similarly, all other women whose first marriage ended, they're not allowed to do erusin or nisuin again until after 3 months. And then we had a machlokas involving Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi, who say that maybe they can do erusin, maybe even in some cases they can do nisuin, etc. So like my bishlemi yivama kedamarin. Okay, I can understand why yivama can't do yibum during the 3 months. We said already she might end up being pregnant, have a ben kayama, and it turns out he's been over on an isakaris, and any future children from it would be mamzerim. What's the problem with any other women? So what? So you know, there's no issur kares involved. Her husband's dead already, or her husband divorced. So what's the problem? Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Mishum de'omakra, because the pasuk says, the Eibishter says to Avraham, Liyas l'chol elikimul zaracha acharecha, that I should be a god to you and to your descendants after you, which means the Shechina only rests on miyuchasim, on vadoyim. So therefore, lahavchem ben zarah shalishan, lazarah shasheni. You want to be able to distinguish between whether this child comes from the first husband or the second. You don't want that you're going to have kids out there who you don't know where their fathers are. That's not called miyuchasim, and the shechina can't rest on such people. Rashi also brings from a Gemara in Nedarim that says that there's various kinds of people that the pasuk describes as hamodim vaposhim, the rebellious and the deliberate sinners among the Jewish people. They include people who are like that, people who don't know their own yichus. It's not their fault, but it tends to be that way. The same way as we say, for example, that a ben anida tends to be a mechutzah. There's different things like that. There's a certain tendency that such people have. And therefore, we want to avoid that. Masiv Rava, so Rava asks on that. What the Braitha says, L'fichach ger v'giyoras tzrichan l'hamtim gimel chadashim. We say, therefore, because of this, a ger and a giyoras, so you have, in other words, a goyish couple who were already married, become gerim together, and nevertheless, we say, tzrichan l'hamtim gimel chadashim. They have to wait 3 months. The question is, hachamai l'hamchenika. What kind of distinction do you need to make over here? No, the point is, she was married to the same man all this time.
Right.
The children that she has, once they become gerim, what's the concern? You know that they come from her husband. The answer is no. Hachanami ikalahavchin ben zerah shen nizra b'kedusha lezera shalain nizra b'kedusha. No, but you still want to make a distinction between whether the child was conceived b'kedusha after they were nisgayer or shalai b'kedusha while they were still goyim. That makes a difference, as the Gemara is going to discuss in a few blocks.
So you have to wait 3 months from the gear.
From the gear, right. Yeah.
That's according to...
That's what we're saying over here. That's based on this idea. We want to make sure that we know the yichus of a yid. And in this case, we want to make sure that we know that he's a full-fledged yid rather than someone who has heard also shalai b'kdusha v'lai dasa b'kdusha. Rava had entered this explanation of Rav Nachman. Of Rav Nachman HaMashmol, but Rava himself says a different reason. It's not based on the pasuk. It's rather gzera. Shema yisra tachoseme aviv. What happens? You have this child who doesn't know for sure who his father is. Imagine, so he's born after his mother remarries. He's under the impression that he's his mother's second husband's son. Now what happens is he may end up going and marrying a girl, a daughter of his first of his mother's first husband, not realizing that she's his sister. Or you might have a problem where he does yibum with the wife of his brother on his mother's side. Again, you could have a similar situation. Suppose that this woman, having remarried, has another son. This son gets married and dies childless, where this Suffolk over here thinks that he is the son of the second father. Therefore, he's a full-fledged brother. He's a full brother to this one, and he does give him. Really, he's only a brother on his mother's side because they have different fathers. And now he's over on an Issacharis, Eish Zachiv. A third possibility is he might think that his mother is mutter to be is mutter to marry out without Yibum. Suppose that his mother does not have any children from her second marriage. So then when she dies, she's up for Yibum because of her second husband. He's going to think that he's her second husband's son. Therefore, his mother is pater from Yibum and can go marry whoever she wants. And really, she's over on an Islav. And a fourth possibility, Yifter Tivimte Lashuk. Or you could have a case where he thinks that his Yivama is mutter to marry somebody else. He has a brother from the first father. That brother dies childless. He's the only other brother. So he thinks, well, I'm not born from the first one. He thinks I'm born from the second husband. Therefore, my brother died without any brothers. His wife is free to marry whoever she wants. Really, he's his brother because they've had the same father, and he should do Yibum, and he doesn't realize it. And he's going and marrying somebody else. Therefore, because of all that,
married somebody else.
No, so she's going to go marry somebody else, and that's an Isulav again.
Well, yeah, well, if he goes and marries somebody else, and after that he discovers, can he go back to his woman and do Yibum with her?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't see why not. My girlfriend, I can't think why not.
She gets married, obviously.
If she married somebody else, then yeah. No, if she marries somebody else, we said it's only an Isulav. Rashi, by the way, points out an interesting thing over here, that all of this is, when you get down to it, according to this reason of Rava, how does this apply to the reason of the Ger and the Gioris? Most of these reasons don't really apply to a Ger and a Gioris, that there's any possibility of most of these things. The issue is to tell Ben Zeresh and Israel Kedusha or not, but Rava himself is saying there's a different reason, so how does that fit over here? Right. How does that fit over here? So Rashi explains that you can still have some of these cases. You can have that she has this one child who's a Suffolk. We don't know whether he was Nizra B'Kedusha or not. Later on she has another son who dies childless. This boy, this Suffolk over here, goes and does Yibum, the first one, thinking that he's Nizra B'Kedusha, that he's a full fledged brother of the second one because they were both born after the gear. Really, he wasn't. He was born before the gear. Now, Rashi points out an interesting thing over here. It's not just the problem that he was born before the gear. Rashi actually uses the expression over here, there is the possibility, Rashi uses the expression, stama vedes kechavim zonehi. Very often, a goita is promiscuous, and therefore, you never know. They might not even have the same father. And then how is he doing? And then how is he marrying this woman? He's marrying this woman who's his brother's wife from the mother's side, which is also. Now, Marshall has a big problem with this Rashi. Marshall says, "What are you talking about? We don't usually say stama vedes kechavim zonehi, just the opposite. In fact, before we said that a goiter who knows that he's about to become a geyota starts being careful." And Marshall has a bunch of problems with this Rashi.
In any case, would the debate allow her if she didn't know who's with her family to become a geyota?
Why not? We don't really look at a goy's past when they're becoming a ger. But anyway, so Marsha ends up saying that this must be that a Talmud Toya must have written this, that just a Talmud who misheard what Rashi was saying wrote this down. The problem with that is the choice of Yishanim uses the same shot. Okay. Akasha. Anyway.
That's a big cut.
Yeah. Anyway. okay, anyway. Yeah.
How long after the Rashi was written?
Tosfos Yeshanim is another rendition of Tosfos. There were many different schools of Tosfos in the few generations after Rashi. We have the standard Tosfos that are printed in the various Masechtas, each Masechta, various Masechtas have collections of Tosfos from different schools. The Tosfos Tuch, the Tosfos Shantz, the different collections of Tosfos. Tosfos Yeshanim is just a different collection than the standard one. Yeah. There's also, we sometimes have on the side here, Tosfos Chad Mikamai is yet another such collection, yeah? Anyway. Most of Rav Hananya. So Rav Hananya asks, on this discussion. So far we have two reasons why to say that you need the 3 months. One is in order to be able to tell that people should be miyuchasim, and one is because otherwise you might have problems involving arayas or yivamos or whatever. So Chananya, so Braisa says, "V'chulon ani kora behen mishum takonas erva, v'chan mishum takonas vlad." In general, in all the cases where we say that women are not allowed to marry or to do yibum, meaning, so Rashi says it means, it's talking about, for example, later on in the Masechta, we're going to have cases where, for example, we heard reports that her husband died, but we're not sure about it. We had one aid, and in the cases where one aid is no good for the purpose, in all those cases, the reason why we say that she's not allowed to get married is because of Takanas Erva, because you don't want to have a problem of Arayas, that her husband is going to turn up alive, for example, and then there was an Isser Erva over here. But Kan Mishum Takanas Vlad, as opposed to over here with the 3 months wait, the reason is not because of Erva, the reason is because of the child himself. We want to know who his father is. That's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos says that we're talking only about Yibum. B'cholon means all the cases that we mentioned in our Mishnah where the Yivamos has to wait 3 months. It's all because of Erva, because you might have an Isser of Eishes Achiz, except for this one. Now the question is, the E Issa, if you're telling me that the problem is like Rava is saying, all these different problems of Yibum and Arayas and whatnot, then Kulam Mishum Takonas Erva. Then all of them is a matter of Takonas Erva. They say, what is Rava saying? The reason you don't want this to happen is because you don't want this kid, for example, to end up thinking that his mother is allowed to become marry out when really she's a Yivama. It's not really an Isser Erva. Okay, that's an Isser Lav, but fine. Some of the other cases that we have, Yisra Tachoyseme Aviv is an Isser Erva. The answer is, okay, Haimishim Takonas Vlad, fine, but you can also call it the Takana of the child, Lifka Bahu Erva, that he should not end up marrying an Erva. Meaning, in other words, you still have the same thing. We can still call it that Bekulo Nanikur Behemishim Takonas Erva, all the other cases, let's stick with Rashi, for example, that all the other cases where we say a woman is not allowed to get married, the reason is because if she gets married, she's going to be messed up. She's going to have a problem that there was a riot. Here the problem with the 3 months is not herself. Here the problem with her could be an Isser Lav, if she turns out to be a Yavama who marries out Lashuk when she's not supposed to. The problem is the Vlad himself. Yes, it'll be an issue of Erva. We're focusing on that the Vlad is the one who will have the problem of Erva, not the mother.
But it's still an
Erva. But that's what we mean. In other words, Takanas Erva versus Takanas Vlad means, in other words, the mother versus the child. Okay. Now, so we've been saying all this time you have to wait 3 months. Now the Gemara is going to examine that. I can understand why she can't wait 2 months and get married. That would be exactly the problem. This child, when he's born after, you could have a child who's born after a 9-month pregnancy or after a 7-month pregnancy. At this stage, the Gemara is assuming that just like 9 months is full 9 months, 7 months is also full 7 months. So fine, that's exactly the problem. You wait 2 months. Then the kid is born 7 months later. You don't know if it was a 9-month pregnancy from the first husband or a 7-month pregnancy from the second one. Ella Tamten.
So you see a 7-month pregnancy.
We said that a 9-month pregnancy is normally detectable after 3 months. We're gonna get back to that in a minute, actually. But the question is, Ella Tamten Chodeshachem v'Tinasi. Why don't we say she can wait for 1 month and then get married? Then if 7 months later she gives birth, then obviously it was a 7-month baby from the second husband. And if it's 8 months, then necessarily an 8-month baby we know is not viable. So if this baby turns out to be viable, then there's no question. It must have been a 9-month baby from the first husband. Obviously she had relations with him 1 month before he died.
A seven month is also viable.
Is viable. That's the Gemara's standard assumption is that there's two tracks on which a pregnancy can have, on which a baby can develop. A 7-month track and a 9-month track.
And an 8-month is not
viable. 8 months is not viable.
Why?
Except for, we're going to say in a second, there is a possibility that, yes, but ordinarily, because,
ordinary.
Well, the thing is like this. A 7-month pregnancy is okay. You have babies who develop fully in 7 months. 9 months, most babies take 9 months to develop. If you have an 8-month baby, means, in other words, it's 9 months who was born prematurely. For those times, a baby born prematurely like that wouldn't survive. I mean, nowadays, okay, you know, nowadays they have babies can be born, you know, 3 or 4 months early, and they put them in an incubator, and they still, you know, they have to, they sometimes have to do heroic efforts. But, you know, in those times, if a baby is born a few weeks early, then, you know, it's...
But Laura assumes that a 7-month baby can be a normal baby, just shortened...
Just a shortened pregnancy, right? And a 9-month baby is most of the time. We had the other day, Nachman had pointed out that
right.
in his family, most of the women gave birth after 7 months. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, whereas an 8-month
family, that's not...
Okay, but the point is, there does exist such a thing. And we learned in Rosh Hashanah that a number of the famous figures in Jewish history were born after short pregnancies like that. Rashi mentions it on Chumash also, I think, that Moshe was born after a short pregnancy like that. That's why Yocheved is able to hide him for a couple of months before the Mitzrayim realize that there's a baby born. Yeah. Anyway, so if she waits 1 month, and now 7 months later she has a baby... It can't be an 8-month baby from the original husband, because an 8-month baby wouldn't be viable. So then, in that case,
after 1 month.
That's what we're saying. In other words, that we're asking like this: if she waits 1 month, then if 7 months later she has a baby, you know it can't be an 8-month baby from the first husband.
Right.
An 8-month.
Yes.
So necessarily, then it has to be a 7-month baby from the second one. And if conversely, if she gives birth after 8 months, then obviously it's a 9-month baby from the first one. Because the Gemara is also assuming in this discussion over here that a pregnancy is also not overdue by more than a couple of days. Now, later on in the Gemara, later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Rabbi Tesfa had a case over there where a woman he allowed for the possibility that a pregnancy might last as long as 12 months. I mean, nowadays they never let it happen. They induce. But in Chassidus, it talks about the idea that Eliyahu never was born after a 12-month pregnancy.
12 months.
Mm-hmm. Just like you have babies who are born early, you have babies who are born late.
That's late.
That late, apparently, yeah. The Rabbi Tetzvah allowed for it, but here the Gemara is not dealing with that possibility.
What do we?
Well, I mean, the pregnancy durations exist. But, you know, how it works out in modern terms, I don't know. Sometimes we say nishtanu ativim, that people's human nature has changed from then till now. You know, classic example, nishtanu ativim actually is in here, we've talked about before, is in Hilchos Nidah. The Gemara and even the Shulchan Aruch assumes as a standard thing that most women have very regular cycles. Nowadays, it's extremely uncommon that women have regular cycles. So, yeah, you know, things change. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, the Gemara asks, still, the Gemara answers, rather. The problem is, wait, let's finish the question first. So if she gives birth after 7 months, then we know it's a 7-month baby from the second one. If she gives birth after 8 months, then it's obviously a 9-month baby from the first one, because 8 months wouldn't be viable. And the answer is, because even if she gives birth at 8 months, you could still say that it really is from the second one. An 8-month baby is not viable. Dilma ishtahuya ishtaha chodesh echad v'yaber. It could be that he waited 1 month, and then she became pregnant. So it could still be. In other words, it took 1 month for her to become pregnant. Not necessarily did she become pregnant immediately she married her second husband. Maybe she became pregnant a month later. No, the Gemara could have, and then it would be a 7-month baby from the second one. So therefore, you can't prove anything just because it was 8 months later. Now, the Gemara could have answered also. I mean, you can have later on in the Masechta, it talks about the idea that you can have a 7-month baby who was delayed, just like we were saying that Rabbi Tesfah talks about a 9-month baby can be delayed. A 7-month baby can also be delayed and be born in the 8 months. That's not considered an 8-month baby.
Bending the rules.
Yeah. Whatever. But I mean, Rashi points out there's another thing we could have said also. You know, you could say the other way around. She gives birth after 7 months, but really after 7 months. But you could still have a chashash that's from the first one because she may have become pregnant a month before he died. But okay, once the Gemara has found a way to slug it up, it doesn't need to go through all the possibilities. Anyway. Okay, how about the Gemara asks another possibility? Why don't we say she can wait 2.5 months and then get married? If then 7 months later she gives birth, then it's obviously a 7-month baby from the second husband, because she won't have been pregnant for 9.5 months. The Ilashitro Palga Yoda, conversely, if she gives birth after 6.5 months, Hai Bartisha Lakamahu, then obviously it's a baby from the first husband, because we had 2.5 plus 6.5. The Iba Basru, Shitro Palga Lechaye, and we'd know, because if she gives birth after 6.5 months, 6.5 months is not going to be a viable baby yet. You need, at the Gemara is assuming at the stage, at least 7 full months. And the Gemara answers, Inami the Shito Palga Yolda, because no, even if she gives birth after 6.5 months, Ikalamema de Basru, there's still a possibility that it came from the second husband. Da'ama Mazutra, because Mazutra said, you're assuming all this time that 7 months means 7 full months, miyom liyom. That's not what it means. Afilu Lamanda Alma, Yeledis Latet, any Yeledis and Kutpoin, even according to the opinion, which the Gemara mentions in Nida, that a 9 month pregnancy means 9 full months, not 8 months and part of it. But Yeledis Lazania, Yolda Lazania, Yeledis and Kutpoin. But there's no question, everybody agrees that a 7 month pregnancy does not have to be 7 full months. It can be 6 months and part of a month.
Yeah. An 8 month and 9 months has to, well,
there is a machlokes in Nida whether even a 9 month pregnancy has to be full 9 months. Maybe it can be 8.5 months. But there's no question that 7 months can mean 6 months and change.
But here we seem to be saying 9 months has to be 9 months.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Even according to the opinion, even if we follow the opinion that says that 9 months means 9 full months, no less, but 7 months doesn't have to mean 7 months. It can mean 6.5 months. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, when Shmuel was born, by Hilas Tkufas HaYamim, it says after, it was after the Tkufas of the days, Miut Tkufas Beis, Miut Yamim Beis. It means that the word tkufos is plural. The minimum of plural is two, or tkufos is 3 months, because it's 4 tkufos in a year. Yomim is days, also means two. So Shmuel was born after a pregnancy of 6 months and 2 days. And he was viable, obviously. That's considered a 7 month pregnancy, because it's 2 days. No, there are 4 tkufos in a year. Tkufos Nissen, tkufos Tammuz, etc.
3 months, so it could be 2 months or 3 months.
No. Tkufos means 2 tkufos, so 6 months.
Why?
Because that's what a tkufos is, 3 months.
Tkufa is 3 months, but tkufa is three.
No, it has to mean at least two. And since tafasta merubalai tafasta, then...
At least two, but it cannot be three.
Tafasta merubalai tafasta. If it was meant to be three, then the Torah would have said three. And the Pasuk would have said three. That's a general rule. You always say that...
You say three.
Shalosh tkufa. Shalosh tkufa, yeah. That's a general rule. Whenever the Torah has a plural and it doesn't specify the number, we assume it means two. We've had this concept before, yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So you could have, even though she waited 2.5 months, that's not enough. You need to wait 3 full months. Okay, the Gemara asks, how about another possibility? V'tamten mashu v'tinase, why doesn't she just wait a little bit and then get married? By a little bit, she says maybe a week or two. Tosfos says, no, what you mean is 3 days. It takes 3 days. We said that the zera is still viable for 3 days. It can take up to 3 days for fertilization to occur. So let her wait 3 days after 3 days, according to Tosfos, after her husband died. Then she can get married. And as soon as 3 months passed since her husband died, which at that point, at 3 months, we said already the pregnancy is usually noticeable, let's have women check her. How do you check her? Rashi says they would.
3 months. Would a woman be able to check her?
So Rashi says because at 3 months, the other day when we were talking about whether a pregnancy is noticeable at 3 months, that's talking about whether she's starting to show. That maybe yes, maybe not. It depends, and the different women show differently. Here we're talking about. Rashi says we're talking about we would have women examine her breasts. Those change during pregnancy. So you could have them check exactly on the 3 month anniversary of her husband's passing. And then that way you'll know. If at that point you notice the changes, then you know obviously she's pregnant from her first husband. If not, if there's no changes detectable yet, then obviously she's pregnant from her second husband.
Can I ask you a question? I mean, why are we don't talk about her cycle? If her cycle stops once she's pregnant, why are we just talking about the breast?
Because not necessarily. So first of all, there are sometimes women who still have periods or so.
Laura, you said assuming that women have a regular cycle, then the fact that they don't have a cycle that's regular has to be pointing towards a pregnancy.
No, many women had regular cycles. It wasn't like all of them did necessarily.
No, I'm not saying
okay.
all, but we don't talk about that. Though?
Because apparently that's not enough of a proof. Especially because, I mean, you could have it with a small amount, it was a noticeable, you know. Okay.
Most women who have a regular cycle don't have a cycle that's suspected
to be pregnant. Okay. Akasha, I don't know. But there could be other reasons that a woman... cycle could stop anyway, even nowadays, for example, athletes, for example, whatever. No,
you know what I'm saying.
I understand, but still, the point is, there can be different reasons other than pregnancy that her cycle could be irregular.
The most common reason is pregnancy.
Maybe, but I would say a pretty common reason in those days was also starvation. Well, Anyway, I don't know. It's Akasha, I don't know. Anyway. So then, Amar of Safra, ain't Bodkinus and Asuris. You don't do such a check on married women. Shalaisganu al Balein, so that they don't become unattractive to their husbands. Women are checking them, Pashtas, but still, they check. I don't know. They check whether there's certain changes in the breast that you would expect at that point at the end of the first trimester. Yeah, no, it sounds like it means more than just checking visually. It sounds like maybe it means involves checking, by you know, sort of like a mammogram nowadays. But whatever. Yeah. Okay, the Gemara asks, "Benivdukabi yulucha." Okay, how about instead? Let's examine her. By how she walks. Have her, for example, walk in loose dust. If she's pregnant, then her footsteps are going to be different. They are going to be different than when she's not pregnant, because she walks differently. Amar Rami Bachama. The problem with that is Rami Bachama says, "Ishim chapa atzma," because you may well have the woman is dafka going to try to hide her pregnancy in a case like this, where her first husband died and she's really pregnant by him. She may try to hide her pregnancy and pretend that afterwards she only became pregnant later by her second husband. Kadesh Yirish Baila b'nichse Baila. That way her husband, that way her child will be able to inherit from her second husband eventually.
She wants him to be able to inherit from her second husband.
Why? Because the pashtos, maybe her first husband didn't leave enough of an estate, or you know, by the time the child grows up, the estate will, you know, will fall into ruin or whatever. So therefore, Bedavka shall try to walk in a way that she'll try to minimize the difference in the way she walks, so her pregnancy footsteps won't be so noticeable. Yeah, could be. Yeah. Okay, the Gemara asks, how about another possibility? Hecha de kimlon de mumberesi tinase. How about all this time we're talking about she might be pregnant from her first husband, and therefore we're saying wait? How about if we know she's pregnant from her first husband? Why do we make her wait the full 3 months? We know already she's pregnant. Let her get married at that point. What's the problem?
I wouldn't know.
Sometimes it happens. First of all, remember, 3 months means from the death of her husband. She could have become pregnant 2 months before her husband died. A month after her husband died, she's already 3 months pregnant. She's already starting to show. There's the changes in her breast, the changes in her walk, etc. Why at that point do you make her wait 2 more months? Alama times. So why do we learn in a braisa? Lo yisa adam uberes chaveira menekes chaveira. We had the other day that a person's not allowed to marry a woman who's pregnant by somebody else or who's nursing a baby by somebody else. Vim nasa, and if he married her, we can't say him yotziv la yachzer elamis, that he has to divorce her and he can never remarry her. Okay, we said that was a coincidence of mayor, a coincidence of chami. Could we marry her later? But whatever. The answer is zera shema teotasa ubra sandal. That's different. The reason the Xeter there is not because we don't, obviously she knows she's pregnant. We know who the father of this child is. The problem is that as we said the other day, she might become pregnant on top of the first pregnancy already. Sometimes it happens that a woman becomes pregnant with a second baby after she's already pregnant with the first one, and then that can cause the first one to get crushed.
Therefore,
you don't want to allow this man to marry her because you don't want her to become to possibly become pregnant by him.
But that's
for shlicha. But it happens. So we're saying not even the 3 months. If we know she's pregnant, he tak has to wait until she gives birth. Or really, actually, in that case, he'll have to wait until she's weaned. So the baby is weaned.
Because of the second baby.
No. Sandal is always. But 3 months is if we don't know she's pregnant yet. Once we know she's pregnant, he's going to have to wait until she actually gives birth. Tosfos had a different explanation. Tosfos had a different explanation in the first paragraph that the problem of sandal is not that she might become pregnant again, because, you know, that's taka not so common, but it could happen, similar to what the Gemara is going to say in a second, that when they're having relations, that might harm the existing baby and then cause it to turn into a sandal, yeah. Okay.
Sandal is
literally, sandal means a sandal. It's also the name of a kind of fish, which is like a sole or something, right, which is flat like that. But the baby who gets crushed like that ends up like a flat, flattened thing. Yeah. Okay. Like my asi hachidi de nami. Well, then the same logic should apply. If she's pregnant by him himself, we should say that a husband is not allowed to have relations with his wife when she's pregnant. We never find such an Isser. The answer is that's different. According to the opinion we had in the first Perek, we had a machloikas, whether a woman who's pregnant is allowed to use moich. Either Rashi said she puts in moich before they have relations to absorb the zera, or according to Tosfos, she uses moich afterwards to scrape it out, whatever it is, then fine, she can use moich. According to the other opinion, that no, you're never allowed to use moich, but we say minashamayim yirachmu, the Eibishter shemek soyim Hashem, the Eibishter protects the innocent, then the same thing. We don't have to worry about these kinds of things.
Why is the other opinion never allowed?
Because it's an issue of ashkasat zera. We talked about it briefly in the first paragraph, that it's an issue,
it's an issue
of wasting zera.
No.
Using moich, how would that be a danger for the existing baby?
Pregnant?
If she's pregnant and they have relations and she uses moich, according to either Rashi or Tosfos' explanation, that can't harm the baby.
Of course it can't harm the baby.
Yeah.
Penetrates.
And moich doesn't penetrate. Come on. It doesn't go past the cervix. And you have the mucus plug there anyway, whatever. Let's not get into a whole discussion of obstetrics. Yeah. Okay, so you might ask, well, Hachanami, so then what's the problem? If a man is marrying a woman who's already pregnant by somebody else, same thing. Same logic. What's the difference? So the Aruch on that points out, the Gemara could have answered there's still a difference. You could say that when it's his own child, then fine, he'll make sure that she always has moich, according to the opinion, that there's moich, whereas with somebody else's child, he may not be so concerned about that one, and therefore he may be in a hurry to have relations with her without giving her a chance to prepare moich ahead of time. Or the Minach Shemayim Yirachmu, you can say Mela will allow it for an already married couple where it's his own child, because already, look, you know, you can't keep them off limits for each other for 9 months, but where it's somebody else's child, maybe you can't be Samachan Nissim like that. Okay, but the Gemara is asking back that no, you forget about distinctions like that. It's something like some kind of absorbent stuff, like cotton or something. Ella, so no, there's another reason not to give. Forget about this reason of sandal. Mishum Dochsa. The problem is that you're pressing on the child during Tashmish.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay, again, the question is, Yochidi Dei Nami, well, in the same problem, if it's his own child, again, why is the husband allowed to have relations when his wife's pregnant? The answer is, because if it's his own child, he's going to have Rachmanis on it. He's going to be careful not to press down. Well, but the same thing, if she's pregnant with somebody else, also he's going to have. I mean, okay, it's not his child, but still, a person doesn't deliberately go out to kill a baby. Yeah, also true. Okay, the Gemara says, fine, let's try another reason. Elastamu obenes l'minikah kaima. Normally, when a woman is pregnant, she's going to end up nursing the baby. Yes, and they didn't have formula in those days, but okay, in those days they had, you know, you had wet nurses, but okay, it's not a very common thing. Normally the woman herself is going to nurse the baby.
Wet nurses are
nurses who nurse the baby, yeah. So therefore, Dilma I Avra, the problem is that she might become pregnant after she gives birth. So the problem is not, the problem right now, the Gemara is saying it's not a problem. It's not a problem anymore that the baby is in the womb might be harmed. Fine, we're not worried about that. We are worried once the baby is born, if she becomes pregnant again, then her milk will curdle, not curdle really, but whatever, the milk changes consistency when she's pregnant. And then the child will die of hunger because he's not going to have what to nurse. If she becomes pregnant again. So therefore, you don't want to allow him to marry Mu'uberes Chaveri, not so much because we're worried about the baby, not about the embryo, or about the fetus, but because we're worried what's going to happen when he's born, he's not going to have what to nurse. Okay, again, the Gemara asks the Hachi Didei Nami again, and you could ask the same thing. The same problem will be, again, with his own child. We know that once his wife gives birth, he's allowed to have relations with her again, and even though she'll have another child, what's the problem? The answer is, Didei Mamasta Saleba Beitzim B'cholav. Because if it's his own child, he won't allow the child to go hungry. He can't nurse. The mother's milk isn't the consistency he likes anymore. Fine, he'll arrange to give the kid eggs and milk. Apparently that was their version of formula in those days. The Rambam actually explains it differently. The Rambam explains that you give the mother eggs and milk, and that restores the potency, that restores the consistency of her milk to what it should be.
Eggs and
milk. The protein, I guess, it helps. Yeah. I don't know. That's what I said. I said midwife, wet nurses, but it wasn't a common thing. Okay, you're back to the question. You don't have any machnas alav beitzim b'cholav. Fine. So if it's her child from her first marriage, also the husband can provide formula or he can provide restoratives for her. The answer is lo yad labal. The husband may not want to give. It's not my kid after all. Okay.
It's his wife.
Yeah, but okay. You know, he doesn't have so much rachmanis on the kid. Okay, the question is, will it be in El Yoshim? Fine. Why won't she then go and take the Yoshim of her first husband to Beis Din? Look, you know, I'm pregnant by your brother or son or whatever it is. You know, this is your nephew or cousin or what have you. Give me, do something. The answer is, Amar Abaye, Isha Boisha, love of the Beis Din, because she may be embarrassed to come to Beis Din and then sue on behalf of her child. So therefore, her child is going to end up dying of hunger because she's going to be too embarrassed to do anything. So therefore, in order to prevent that whole problem, you don't allow somebody else to marry her while she's pregnant or nursing. A couple of other details about this. One is that Rambam seems to have a different girsa in our Gemara. Actually, the Kesef Mishnah has a long explanation of it. The Rambam says, forget about this business about the milk curdling. The Rambam goes back to the previous reason about doxa. The problem is that the husband may harm the child while not purposely necessarily, but just while they're having relations. About what the Gemara said, that he's not deliberately going to do that. Okay, maybe the Kesef Mishnah says maybe not deliberately, but still, you know, he won't necessarily be as careful.
So then you disallow this for the father also.
No, he said no, because the father was saying, "We'll be careful when it's his own child. When it's somebody else's child, though, then he may not deliberately go, like Rashi says, to go and kill the kid. But he's also not going to be as careful as he should be." Another thing on this actually is in childless atrocious literature, we find various permutations and various possibilities of this. There's a couple of interesting truths from Moshe Feinstein on this. One is you had a case of, I think, a grusha who wanted to get remarried during the 3 months. And Ramosha is saying it's not allowed, we see from our Gemara. She's threatening, you know what, in that case, then fine, forget about it. I won't do an Orthodox wedding, I'll go do a Reform wedding. And Ramosha says, basically, you know, it would be a pity if she does, but that's not our problem. We can't do an Isser for her sake because she wants to do something like that. On the other hand, there was a case involving a woman who was nursing, where she a shidduch was proposed for her. To make a long story short, neither of them wanted to wait so long. And Ramosha said that, you know, especially nowadays, it's uncommon to technically be supposed to wait 24 months, because that's normally how long a baby nurses. But nowadays, among other things, hardly any babies nurse that long. And for that and for various other considerations, Ramosha was not there to marry, I think, after 15 or 18 months after her husband died. Yeah.
Formally
nowadays,
right?
There's that. Maybe that came into the picture also. I don't know, yeah.
But you don't want the...
Okay, then the Mishnah had continued. Achas psulis v'achas b'ulis. The Mishnah had said that this rule about the 3 months applies across the board, whether she's a psula...
If she's
probably pregnant, that's what we're saying. Yeah, that's what we're saying. As long as she's pregnant, nobody else is allowed to marry her, we said, because of all these possibilities. Because of doxa, because of the milk. Yeah. The 3 months is, if we don't know whether she's pregnant yet, you have to wait 3 months to find out whether she's pregnant.
But if we know, then yeah.
Now, so the Mishnah had continued that this 3 month business is across the board, whether she's a psula, whether she's a ba'ula, whether she's a grusha, an almana, whether she's in a sua or an arusa. So the Gemara asks, Hey Niu Basulus, Hey Niu Arusis. Isn't Basulus and Arusis the same thing? If she's an Arusa, presumably she's still a Basula. Hey Niu Basulus, Hey Niu Nasuas. If they already had relations, that's the definition of Nasua. So what's the repetition? You're right. It's not really saying 6 different cases. It's saying whether she's a Basula or a Bola, who were widowed or who were divorced, bein min ha'erusin, bein min ha'nisuin, and whether they were widowed or divorced from erusin or nisuin. So it's not like a whole bunch of different cases. It's basically clarifying. It's clarifying the issue.
It can be a basula who was.
Well, so we're saying, in other words, that it's one long statement. The rule applies whether she's a basula or a ba'ula. And it applies whether they were widowed or divorced from Erusin, which is the definition of Psula, or from Nisuin, which is the definition of Bola. It's clarifying it, that the point is it applies whether she, even if she's a Psula, where therefore there's no reason to think that she's pregnant, nevertheless, rules are rules. The Gemara tells, Rabbi Lazo, like all of the Medrash, one time Rabbi Lazo did not come to the Beis Medrash. Ashkechel Rav Asi, then later on he met Rav Asi, Amalei, my Omer Rabbanan Bebe Medrash, what were the Chachamim talking about today in this Medrash? Amalei, he says, Hachi Amar Rav Yechanan, Halacha Ki Rav Yosi. The Halacha is like Rav Yosi in our Mishnah, who said Rav Yosi had said that any women are allowed to do Erusin during the 3 months, except for an Amana, because she's an Avelis. So the Gemara asks why. Miklal do yichidah poligalei. Does that imply that the Tanakama who said that no, they're not even allowed to do Edusin is only a daf yachid? Usually the Tanakama we say is a chachamim. And fine, many times the halacha is like a b'yosi, but only when he's arguing against yichidim, not when he's arguing against the Rabbanah. Here, if we're saying the halacha, that Rabbi Yochanan is saying the halacha is like a b'yosi, implies that it's only an individual opinion who's arguing on him. And the answer is ain't, indeed. V'hotanya, and thus we find in a braita, if this woman was regularly going to her father's house, so then right before her husband died, she was in her father's house for a while, so obviously she couldn't have become pregnant at that point, or she and her husband were angry at each other, and therefore they weren't having relations, or her husband was stuck in jail, her husband was old or sick. Actually, Agos Agro adds another one from Ksubis, that all from the parallel Gemara and Ksubis, that her husband was away overseas, the Medina Sayan. Or she was sick. Or she miscarried after her husband died. Or she was an Akara, or she was an Akara, Rashi says means that she had a hysterectomy. Or an old woman, or a ktana, a minor, or an atloinis, or she'ena ruya leilad, or for whatever reason, she can't give birth. Rashi says, for example, she has some kind of illness, or the Rif says, for example, it could be the cases that we talked about the other day, for example, if a woman was unmarried for 10 years, or was married and then was single for 10 years, then she's not going to be able to give birth afterwards. In all these cases, the Braisa says she still has to wait 3 months. Divrei Rab Meir, so says Rab Meir. This is the key phrase. So we see that the Tanakama of our Mishnah is only Rab Meir, not the Chachamim in general. Rab Yehuda Matil Oris for the Nasim Yad, whereas Rab Yehuda says they're allowed to do Eirusin or Nisuin immediately. So therefore, we see that, or Rab Yosi is another Jewish over here. But the point is that we see that it's not all the Chachamim are arguing against Rab Yosi, only Rab Meir. So fine, halacha can very well be like Rab Yosi. Amr Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba.
You and Rabbi Meir?
No, so Rabbi Meir would disagree, but okay, the halacha is not like Rabbi Meir. Yeah. However, Amr Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba chazer by Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba says, you should know, Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind. Amr Rabbi Yosef, I hodabay, about that the halacha, that he decided the halacha is not like Rabbi Yosef in the end. And Rabbi Yosef says, I hodabay, if in fact he changed his mind, the reason would be Masnissus Karma hodabay. He changed his mind because then he learned a braisa that was taught in the Kerem B'Yavneh. In the yeshiva in Yavneh. D'tanya, we learn a braisa. Amr Rabbi Shmuel b'nai Shor Rabbi Yechim b'Reka. Shamayti mipi chachamim b'kerem Yavneh. I heard from the chachamim, plural, in Kerem B'Yavneh, in the yeshiva in Yavneh. Kulan, Tzuch Haslamdim, Gimel Chadash, Shleish Chadashim. They all have to wait 3 months. So therefore, it's not only Rabbi Meir anymore. It's a more generally held opinion. And therefore, Rabbi Yechim would have changed his mind. When Rabbi Yechim heard that, evidently he changed his mind. Amr Rabbi Yirmiyel Rabbi Zikra. Going back to, though, before we said that Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said that Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind, before that happened, when he's still saying the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, so Rabbi Yirmiyah says to Rabbi Zrika, Ki Ailas the Chamed Rabbi Abo, when you go to visit Rabbi Abo, Romilei, ask him the following question. Mi Amr Rabbi Yochanan halacha is Rabbi Yosi. How could Rabbi Yochanan have said the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi? V'ha'am Rabbi Yochanan halacha ki stam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan always says, we had this a few times already, that the halacha is like a stam mishnah. Without exception, utnan, and we learn in and we learned in our Mishnah, kol anashim lo yinosav lo yisatzu ad triulam shleish hachadashim achas psulos achas golos. So that's a stam Mishnah. How can he pass him like Rabbi Yosi? Amalei, so Rabbi Zrika tells Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Rama lachaha, whoever pointed out that contradiction to you, lo yichosh lekimche, was not concerned about his flour. We have this expression before. It means like he doesn't care. Like he's just throwing anything into the mill, no matter what comes out. He's not concerned to get out proper flour. In other words, he's not being careful about the kind of questions that he's putting forth. Because in our Mishnah, stamva hakach machloikasi, because we have a stam Mishnah followed by machloikas, the ein halacha kastam, and in that case, the halacha is not necessarily like stam Mishnah.
Stam Mishnah that without a machloikas, yes, but
but when there's a machloikas after it, then no.
But the
fact that Rebbe put it in that order, first the Stam Mishnah, and then a Machlokas, implies that the Halacha is not necessarily like the Stam Mishnah. Is it that it's not like the Stam Mishnah, or is it that it's not necessarily that the Machlokas are showing him? Anyway. How do we know this? The Amr HaPapa, we came to Rabbi Yochanan, that here's a general rule. Machloikus v'achak stam alochik stam. If you have in Mishnayos a machloikus and then there's a stam Mishnah, according to one of the opinions, then the alocha is like the stam. But stam v'achak machloikus ain't alochik stam. But if it's the other way around, then not. This rule, by the way, the Gemara mentions in a few places, only applies within one Masechta. Because we have a rule, ein seder the Mishnah. The Mishnayos, I mean, we have the Mishnayos in a certain order. Rebbe did not necessarily teach them in the order in which we have them. And in fact, for example, in Seder Moed, we mentioned a few times that there were various Masechtas that the Rishonim have in different order, or the Yerushalmi versus the Bavli has in different orders, etc. But within one Masechta, the rule applies. Except for the Gemara mentions in Bava Kamma that the rule does apply in Nezikin, and then there's a Machloikas, Rishonim, that stam, this rule business of Stam V'achakach Machloikas or vice versa does apply in Nezikin. And Mefarshim, they disagree whether by Nezikin we mean only the three Babas, or whether we mean the whole Seder Nezikin. But anyway, different opinions. But the point is, returning to our case over here, yes, we have a Stam Mishnah that says it's across the board, but then we have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi disagreeing. Obviously, Rebbe put it in that order to demonstrate that not necessarily is the Halacha like the Stam Mishnah. As opposed to, though, we said, there's a Braisa from Karen B'Yavna, so that's different.